Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 112.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by the team at Push Owl, a leader in web push notifications for Shopify brands. Are you using web push notifications yet as part of your marketing strategy? If not, you're definitely missing out. It's an important tactic that all Shopify brands, regardless of their size, should be implementing today. Thanks to an amazing Push Owl solution, web push notifications are clickable messages that show up on your desktop computer or mobile phone, and with one click, customers come back to your store ready to buy or consume your latest content. And get this, without collecting email addresses, you're able to recover abandoned carts or win back visitors that recently abandoned your store. It's the best of both worlds, shopping cart recovery and browse recovery for those visitors that didn't buy anything and didn't add anything to the cart, but they spent time viewing products on your site. Imagine being able to send push notification broadcasts to all your subscribers or a segment of them with a new collection launch or a flash sale or BFCM or holiday promotions or, you know, just engaging them with your new branded content from your blog. They even have an incredible feature where you can notify customers when a product is back in stock. Never lose shoppers when inventory gets to zero. You can now send automated back in stock web push notifications to bring those interested shoppers back to your site. And Push Owl is Shopify's leading solution for web push notifications. Over 20,000 brands trust their platform for this incredible sales channel. And right now, they're offering a 30-day free trial for all my listeners. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/pushowl or pushowl.com and use the code Fastlane and start automating and scaling your marketing today. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest on today's episode is Jonathan Poma, who is the founder and CEO of Loop Returns. And they're a platform that allows Shopify brands to automate the entire return process, even exchanges. So it's very interesting how they do it. Some of the largest brands on Shopify have vetted and have made the decision to work with Loop, including brands we all know, Allbirds and Pura Vida bracelets, Brooklinen, Chubby Shorts. I mean, there's a massive list of brands that have made that choice. And so I'm glad to have Jonathan on the show today to learn more about his platform and kind of how things have evolved in the last 6 months through COVID. So hi, Jonathan. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Yeah, Steve. Thanks so much. Grateful to be here.
So on a high level, I mentioned a tiny bit at the top of the show, but what does Loop Returns do and what problem does it aim to solve for Shopify store owners and brands?
Yeah, so you definitely hit a little bit of it, but yeah, to talk a little bit more specifically, boil it down to this, returns are and have historically been a cost center for merchants. And, you know, if you remember back 5-6 years ago, the way that you returned a product online was you scroll down to the bottom of the website, you looked at the footer, you clicked on a link, you hopefully found a PDF, you know, download that PDF, find a way to print a label and ship it back and hope that a refund shows up on your credit card, check your emails, check your credit card statements. In the simplest sense, it brings, you know, transparency to that process. It's a hosted application. It sits at, you know, exchanges.allbirds.com, exchanges.chubbyshorts.com, whatever the storefront may be. Enter your order number and your shipping zip, and we interface with Shopify via API to pull in the line items from the order. We also have real-time access to inventory in the Shopify system, and we kind of walk the customer through a journey, maybe answering a little bit more than you wanted, but our paradigm is essentially, mm-hmm. you know, we start with the assumption that the customer bought at the right time from the right brand and with the right product, and they just got the size or the variant wrong and something went wrong. And so we make it really easy to exchange for a different size or color the same product. The next paradigm is the right brand right time and wrong product, in which case we make it really easy to shop for a different product. Mm-hmm. And then where some of the magic happens is if it's not the right brand, not the right time, not the right product, that journey from that point on to the I just want my money back is where we really work to build trust with that consumer to make sure that they have as positive an experience with the brand as possible. And at a high level, I'd summarize all of that as taking something like returns that has historically been a cost center and turning it into a value driver where mm-hmm. customers give brands higher net promoter scores, customers who touch Loop have higher lifetime value, and where we diminish refunds and turn them into exchanges.
Yeah, I have created a document that I use internally that I created, but I share it kind of externally with the brands that I manage. And returns processing, that whole post-purchase experience is extremely important. And I think a lot of brands don't realize the importance of having a clear and easy to understand return policy. But then you're also saying that because of your workflow and there's a design of your platform, you're actually making it more of a profit center, so to speak, because it's a self-serve model that can allow people to exchange things quite easily. There shouldn't be any friction at all, because I think some people are under a lot of misconceptions about the fact that returns are annoying and an unfortunate, like, negative thing about having to do business online. But the reality is, and stats have proven it, that, you know, other than, you know, some people that are, you know, I would call them more like policy abusers, these kind of guys. But for the most part, I mean, there's loyal people that just didn't have the right size. They could have bought two pairs of shoes and returned the other one to make sure it was correct. But, you know, the reality is, I think if you offer a great service and a great self-serve model and you're transparent and open and honest about it, that turns into raving fans, I believe.
Totally. And we see that at scale too. You know, we're processing nowadays, you know, 600,000-700,000 return orders a month, and, you know, processing upwards of $30 million through the platform a month. And as we look at that data, it's a little bit of what I said earlier, but returns and refunds used to be thought of as the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, well, I just want to avoid returns because I want to avoid refunds. But it's such an important trust building experience where, you know, if you take care of that customer right, you've built, like you said, a loyal, raving fan forever. And if you don't take care of them, they're gone. And, you know, in a world of e-commerce where the proliferation of storefronts is everywhere and consumers have endless choice with direct-to-consumer brands, you know, ultimately, we see that at scale, on average, 1 in 4 customers who buys from a brand will ever buy again, mm-hmm. and 3 out of 4 never will. And, you know, with returns, what we're hoping and what we see that we can do at scale is kind of take some of those shoppers who might not buy and turn them into customers who are going to buy. And then, you know, in the short term, take some of those customers who are going to buy and help them buy again more frequently and build deeper connection between the brands and the products. And, you know, if you were to talk a little bit about long-term vision for the product and for Loop, you know, we think about what we're doing as kind of pioneering connection infrastructure and helping brands be more intelligent so that when we're actually investing in our customers, we're investing in the right ones and not just the fastest converting ones. So really building better customer relationships over time is kind of the long-term plan for the platform.
Yeah. Beautiful. Love it. So let's talk about the journey a little bit of Loop Returns. I'm always fascinated why people build what they build and are able to share with the listeners today, you know, you and the founding team. Like, first of all, how do you have the desire or the expertise to even want to create this platform? I'd love to hear that story.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite stories to tell. You know, it goes back, I could give you more background before this, but in 2014, I launched a Shopify Plus agency called Rocket Code. We were one of the first, you know, 3 or 4 Shopify Plus agencies. And goodness, it feels kind of both like forever ago and like yesterday. But we were working with Chubby Shorts, and that's where we built the first version of the product. But it's funny, because, you know, even before we launched Loop, you know, I have a lot of friends who run agencies and a lot of friends who are service providers, and we all wanted to build software. We all wanted to be product companies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we had this idea that innovation happened sitting in a room, deciding we wanted to build a piece of software and then bring it to market. And I think what we found was that, like, we were building solutions in search of problems and nobody really needed what we were building. And ultimately, the way we built Loop was just spending a bunch of time with our customers and listening to them and being curious and asking a lot of questions about the problems and the opportunities that they were facing. And then, you know, a lot of it was serendipity beyond that. But I remember where I was when I got the call from Dave Wardell at Chubby's, who's now their CFO, talking about some of the challenges that they were facing with returns. And prior to starting Rocket Code, I had been a business analyst. So I kind of put that hat on and I asked some questions. And, you know, long story short, Chubbies is a very forward-thinking sort of customer experience brand. Mm-hmm. And their CX team was shopping for their customers, placing orders through the front end of the website, you know, impacting and inflating, you know, conversion rate and average order value, and honestly, just taking a bunch of time. And it was really forward thinking. So we asked a bunch of questions and ultimately we sat down and looked at Shopify's APIs and, you know, did a little bit of proof of concepting and saw, you know, holy cow, we could build a platform to do this. And so we built the first version of what would ultimately become Loop in 2015 for Chubbies. And about a year later, we, you know, sat down with them and we saw that we were saving their CX team a ton of time. Their customers who touched Loop had a higher net promoter score than their customers who didn't. And the customers who touched Loop came back and purchased more frequently than customers who didn't. And then lastly, that return cycle time went from upwards of 60 days to less than 30 days. And ultimately, the kicker was that we were able to shift refunds to exchanges and really reduce Chubby's customers' refund rate. And so that was an N of one in 2016. From there, we got in touch with, through Chubby's, Allbirds, Cotopaxi, and Hari Mari, launched them on ultimately still a predecessor to Loop, and saw some of the same things hold true in that larger sample size, and went to market to create Loop, to build the brand, to build the product. Mm-hmm. And we raised our initial seed round in 2017. And we now work with upwards of 400 Shopify merchants, heavily Shopify Plus merchants. And yeah, we are kind of the end-to-end solution there for those brands.
Yeah, I do quite a few app audits on the brands that I manage, especially right now at the FCM time. We want to make sure that, you know, we have the right solutions and we're not clogging up the speed with, you know, with kind of crazy code and things that can hurt the website. For its performance side of it, I do see Loop in there quite a bit. And so it's exciting that a lot of brands have made that choice. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show today. But one thing I have noticed, you know, it's pretty easy to get into the Shopify App Store or just do a quick search online. You know, there's quite a few solutions out there. I'm going to call them post-purchase kind of customer experience solutions. So typically it's, you know, after you've made a purchase, how are we going to handle this customer's frustrations of size or exchanges or returns or whatever it happens to be. And so you look in the ecosystem and there's quite a few out there. You know, and you've done some research, obviously, and you've done proof of concept with some large Shopify Plus brands, just not really meant to be an actual product. It turned out to be a product now that's, you know, it's a SaaS solution available for Shopify brands. But let's talk about, I guess, what uniquely positions Loop now as it relates to competition attempting to do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And honestly, we're glad to be in a competitive space. You know, we think a rising tide raises all ships and it keeps us all sharp. And honestly, right, there's room for a lot of us. But I'll start with a few things we believe. At the highest level, I think humans exist to connect and to create. And then beyond that, you know, when we look at consumer preference, we're seeing that, honestly, like if you look at sort of two different ends of the spectrum, there's consumer preference for convenience. And that's being driven by, honestly, a little bit by Amazon and mm-hmm. just the ability to find anything, you know, free next day shipping, their Prime product, all that sort of stuff. And convenience really matters. Mm-hmm. But convenience is only, as we see it, one half of the equation. And the other side is connection. And there are some principles that really drive that connection, trust being one of them. And we're on a journey to, you know, continue to seek and pioneer in that connection infrastructure space for commerce. But we think about what we're doing as delivering both of those things. So a lot of our competitors are certainly driving convenience, and we love them for that. But we're certainly pushing hard on the connection front. And really the way that manifests, I think, is I'd say, you know, we're obviously B2B, but I think that it's really, if you're not careful, you can do things that are right for the merchant and wrong for the customer. And where we start with trying to make sure that everything is right for the customer. And then in doing that, we'll also do things that are right for the brand. So we think of ourselves as kind of the only competitor, or the only platform in the space that's building primarily through the lens of the consumer and making sure that they have the best experience possible with the brand. And then we believe that the brand will benefit from that. So that's really the first differentiator. And then the second, we're the only platform building exclusively for Shopify's best brands, which honestly means that we miss out on some opportunities. It means that, you know, we can't win merchants on other platforms. We can't win large enterprise merchants. We're not in those conversations. But what it does do is make sure that we can be relentlessly focused on serving merchants in the Shopify ecosystem. You know, in the world of like, are you a mile wide and an inch deep, or are you an inch wide and a mile deep? We believe in the value of the platform and in the value of building exclusively for merchants in the platform so that we can build like really dialed in features that deliver a great customer experience, a great merchant experience, and really bolster what Shopify is already so great at.
I'd also add too, for those listening today, Loop has, I guess, recently been added to the Shopify Plus technology partners group, I guess, or certified app partners. And so, as you know, there's a significant amount of work that's involved to be approved by Shopify to have the security and the scale and the customer service and all the things that go along with being a certified Plus technology app. And so I want to congratulate both you and the team for, number one, putting in the effort to get that certification. And I'm sure that those listening today, there's reasons why you chose that battle and why you've succeeded in that. And I just commend you on the journey you're on with just thinking more customer focused than just kind of the solution and kind of the hardcore feature of what it does. It's more merchant focused.
Totally. Yeah, I couldn't say it better. And thanks. We believe a lot in what Shopify is doing and a lot in the power of the platform, and honestly, a lot in the power of focus. So all of these things are just, you know, doubling down on what we're great at, making sure that we're customer centric, making sure that we have our merchants and their customers' best interests at heart, and just doing what we do best.
I'm going to make a slight pivot. Obviously, this is a conversation that comes up on most podcasts, including this one, about COVID and just the pandemic and things that are happening right now and just how it's affecting both the merchants and then in your case, a SaaS company. You know, and I hear Harley talk about this quite a bit, the fact that, you know, 10 years worth of commerce growth has happened over the last 3 or 4 months, upwards of 30% or more of total goods and services bought in North America, even worldwide probably, are being bought online now, where prior to that, it was, you know, less than 20%. And so when you see this massive growth that's happening, and some merchants doing extremely well because of it, they just happen to be the right place at the right time, and they're solving a lot of problems for people where they couldn't get in traditional retail. On your side of it, being more of a SaaS company solving, you know, this sort of customer experience, return exchange kind of challenge, how has your business pivoted, or is there anything that you can talk about publicly about like how you've positioned the company? Was it serendipitous now that COVID happened? I think we're trying to get something great out of a bad situation, but in the end, how has Loop just fared based on the pandemic?
Yeah, great question. You know, it's interesting looking back. I remember that, you know, Friday the 13th of March when all this stuff happened. It was an interesting time. We were heading into a quarter where, you know, the vast majority of our contracts, I think 45% of our contracts were coming up for renewal in that next quarter. And yeah, and where our merchants were heading into an uncertain time. And so what we did initially was, honestly, we basically took 2/3 of our sales force and put them in merchant experience. And we started proactively reaching out to merchants and just, you know, working with them to help share the burden, whether that meant, you know, deferring payments due to us or whatever the case may be. That was some of the stuff we did in the short term. I think on the other side, you know, we are fortunate to be in e-commerce. And I think we don't take that responsibility lightly. There are a lot of brands, a lot of products, a lot of industries, and a lot of people out there who are struggling. And we happen to be in a very fortunate position, I think, to those who much is given, much is expected. And so we're trying to make sure we do right with the opportunity that we have in front of us. Mm-hmm. But we introduced a new product to market to help merchants with a free offering for a few months through the summer. Mm-hmm. And where we are now is just making sure that we're really dialed in, that we understand and that we share our understanding of kind of industry trends, and that we're helping our merchants be as prepared as they can be for a holiday. And honestly, for a shopping season where, you know, you talk about some of those numbers shifting online, and, you know, while U.S. retail is going to be down online, U.S. e-commerce is up almost seemingly 100%. And so that means that there are, you know, more people shopping online, buying from our customers for the first time ever. And mm-hmm. as we all know, that first experience is so important. Those first impressions matter so much. that we're trying to make sure that we help our brands deliver the best experience possible to connect with as many of those new customers coming online for the first time as they can. And then for all customers who might be buying and needing to return and exchange, that that's as pain-free a process as it can be.
So Jonathan, this show has a diverse range of Shopify entrepreneurs that listen each week. And you know, if you were to give some advice for those maybe in the early to mid-market stage of their business journey, what sort of advice would that be today?
Yeah, great question, Steve. And I'll probably deviate a little bit from some of the talking points that you and I have hit on.
Okay.
But I think the first thing is just you've got to fall in love with your customers and their problems. Maybe said another way, just like know your customers, listen to your customers. Innovation happens by understanding your customers and being able to recognize patterns across all of them. So that's the first one. You know, second, I think first things first. There are lots of things that you can do, but understanding what's the first thing to do is really critical. And then the second from there, I would say the concept that everybody's probably heard is perfect is the enemy of good, or perfect is the enemy of good enough. Our mantra at Loop for that, we talk about goalposts. You know, and don't love using sports metaphors all the time, but essentially our job is to exceed customer expectations. And then a field goal that's down the middle is worth 3 points, as is a field goal that's off the left upright. And so if it's, you know, if we've gotten to a right answer that's through the goalpost, that's good enough. And I think that so often as an entrepreneur, when you're getting started, your standards can be so high that you don't realize how far you're trying to exceed expectations, and you can put a lot of wasted effort into building something that's perfect. And then I think a few more things that come to mind. The ability to prioritize and focus is critical. I'm 35 years old and feel like I'm just starting to understand what prioritization actually means. But it's saying no to a lot of things, and to a lot of good ideas. I don't know where I heard it first, but distractions look a lot like opportunities is something that certainly comes to mind. So yeah, those are probably the things that I'd offer. And then the last is, failure is feedback. And anytime you fail, we all talk about failing forward, but I think like anytime you fail, you've got to make sure it's worth the price of admission. So, failure hurts, but what can you learn from it? And, I think learning those lessons quickly and taking those learnings and applying them to your business is critical. You'll fail more than you'll be successful, but being able to figure those out quickly, adjust course and learn from them is really critical.
I'd also add one slogan that comes up, or just like a state of mind about this whole analysis paralysis, where people are looking at data. I think that's a super important thing. They're looking even the admin, or they're looking in Google Analytics or whatever tool they're using. And I think they get overwhelmed when they don't set aside, as you talk about, like just having disciplined and being focused on the important KPIs for the quarter that you're working on. And even inside the Shopify Plus organization, when we work with our brands, we have this service called MGM, this merchant growth model. And one of the ways that we're able to communicate with our merchants is just identifying, if it's an acquisition or conversion or retention or brand strategy or business operations. There's lots of different kind of key business drivers. And then each brand has a different maturity level. And then based on that maturity level, what sort of things should you be working on? And we'd like to try to identify a couple KPIs that you could work on over a 90-day sprint and, having monthly check-ins. And so I don't think there's any reason why those listening today, if you don't know what a KPI is, I'll put some links in there. These key performance indicators are some really basic ones that are important, but every business really does need to have a few that they're actually working towards. It's not just, I want to improve my conversion rate, or I want to send more traffic to my website. Okay, everybody wants that, but what specifically? They talk about like SMART goals a lot, being very specific and measurable and attainable and relevant and time-based. Do these sorts of things. I think that's super important. That's the feedback that I have kind of given to the brands that I manage. And they seem to be very receptive of that. And you've given some really good feedback here too. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. And certainly echo, as you talk about SMART goals, we use a really similar framework at Loop called RUMBA, is is what you're looking for. Is it a result? Is it understandable? Is it measurable? And then is it beyond ordinary, but also achievable? Mm. And I think, you know, early stage in companies and in businesses, you can get caught up in motion and momentum and action, but right. making sure that you have a result in mind and that the effort that you're putting in is aligned to the results you want to achieve. And that right. you do goal setting is probably the thing at the center of that, but setting goals and knowing why those goals matter is really right. important.
Cool. So let's talk about the future of Loop. Are you able to share any North Star highlights, I guess, for the remainder of 2020? And, you know, now we're in the midst of Q4 right now, or any partner alignment, innovation, just end of the day, I just would love to hear about, you know, how you believe you're going to continue offering value and assistance to Shopify brands.
I feel like most of the time when I'm asked questions like this, I turn it into a little story or an anecdote inside the business. I feel like I sit at this weird apex in the business where, you know, in the business and with our team, I need to help make sure we maintain a relentless focus on the task at hand while also preserving maximum optionality on the other side. And so when I think about, you know, vision and maybe a little bit, you know, mission too, the relentless focus downward into the business is making sure that we build the best returns platform in the Shopify ecosystem and that we're the absolute best partner to the brands that we work with, building for their customers, their business, and helping them get smarter over time. And then the other side of that is the maximum optionality. We really believe in lifetime value as our North Star metric. And, you know, in talking about that customer focus instead of the merchant focus, you know, most of the time when we talk to merchants about lifetime value, it's how much is this customer worth to me as a brand? And we try to, I mean, it's really subtle, but we try to flip that paradigm. How much is the brand worth to me as the customer? Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing as we build our product is we're measuring relative lifetime value over time across all of our brands. So, you know, for our brands, when their customers interface with Loop, are they worth more relative to the rest of their customers quarter over quarter and year over year? And you know, in terms of like, you know, a little bit back to that innovation and falling in love with customer problems and that being how we do it, we're pretty confident, or at least the bet that we're placing is that by falling in love with that metric and spending a lot of time with our customers, that innovation will come as we, you know, stay close to our merchants, stay close to their customers, and continue to focus on driving lifetime value higher. And again, making sure that the brand is worth more to the customer every quarter than it was the quarter before. Mm-hmm.
I love it. And so the next question was about the highlights for your 2020 roadmap, but I'm okay with kind of how you've answered it so far. I think at the end of the day, I just like people to be warm and fuzzy. I'm solving these problems. I'm building some thought leadership around, you know, why you're building this product. And then it's nice to hear that, hey, there's some growth and here's where we're headed with the product, so that people feel confident that they're going to, you know, make the Loop choice because you're pushing the envelope forward in, you know, merchant frustrations and getting feedback and just design feedback loops and these sort of things. So I think you got the bulk of that.
You know, we think a lot about, you know, to date, Loop has been great standalone, but we really believe that in a merchant's tech stack, the whole needs to be greater than the sum of its parts. And, you know, we're proud to have kind of been able to get here without like deeply integrating with and partnering with more technology in the merchant stack. But as we grow and as we innovate, you know, forward looking into 2021, you know, we just released a deep integration with Gorgeous for like help desk and CX support and helping CX agents solve problems more quickly for merchants by digging into returns and checking return statuses natively within the Gorgeous application. And as we, you know, we think about that whole being greater than the sum of its parts, we're heavily focused on working with our merchants to understand what are the other parts of their tech stack and their day-to-day operations that, you know, were Loop integrated with them, we could do, you know, immeasurably more than we can today. And, you know, subscriptions and recurring orders is certainly one of those areas. Payments is another. But there are a lot of things, you know, I would say, yeah, if you would ask me core strategies for 2021, kind of the theme being the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and the tactic or the strategy down within that being just much more deeply integrated value sharing and data sharing between Loop and other platforms in our merchant tech stack.
Beautiful. So Jonathan, we are nearing the end of the show for today. Do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, Steve, that's a great question. You know, I think as we leave today, the important thing that comes to mind for me is as brands grow, things are going to change. And I think one thing that certainly has changed in the last 2 or 3 years is that returns has gone from, maybe I'll go two things, one specific to our product and one not. Returns is proven now to be a value driver and not just a cost center. And that, you know, as you try to build long-term relationships and connection with your customers as a merchant, there may not be a better place to invest in retaining and building relationships with your customers than returns. And that's, I think, a little bit more actionable, a little more tied to Loop and where we are today. The other is maybe just a little bit more forward thinking, but a big part of our long-term thesis is, I don't want to misquote the number, so I won't state it exactly, but you know, there are trillions of dollars being invested annually in acquiring customers. And right now, you know, that happens first because it's the easiest to see. It's like a quick hit. You invest and you can acquire and you can see it. But winning long term is investing in retention and investing in relationships. And we do believe, based on a whole lot of historical pattern matching, that trillions of dollars being invested in acquisition is going to be invested in retention and relationships over time. And as brands grow, looking for more ways to invest in building deeper relationships and connecting with your customers is going to be what separates the great from the good as brands go forward online.
So how can people learn more about Loop, Loop Returns, the product, any kind of education component around your company?
Yeah, so our website's the easiest place to find us, loopreturns.com. You can find our blog there, and then we're also on Twitter with the handle @loopreturns.
Now, we did speak offline before recording today, and I understand that you would like to offer our listeners a little extra promotion ending off 2020 season now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited to do it. We're offering a 10% discount to your listeners here on eCommerce Fastlane on a 12-month contract if we sign by Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's an interesting time. What we see is, you know, with our brands that just about 30% of our brands' returns happen between Christmas and the end of February. And you know, it may seem counterintuitive in a period where you want to be in a code freeze and you want to be stable. And we think that relatively you can stay stable while implementing Loop, but that there's no more important time to invest in getting up and running on a returns platform like Loop so that you can take care of your customers through this unprecedentedly significant holiday shopping season. And then the, you know, historically significant returns period that happens around holiday.
Absolutely. I'll make sure that landing page is going to be at ecommercefastlane.com/loopreturns. And that'll go to a landing page where you can learn more about those details of the 10% off for 12 months. I also just want to thank you, you know, for coming on the show today. I know we bounced calendars quite a bit. It's a really interestingly challenging time where everybody's busy kind of pre-BFCM right now, getting things all revved up. But I believe from speaking offline, you do have the bandwidth for those that can make the decision to saying, hey, I see the benefits in having something set up now for a traditionally very, very busy return season coming up after Christmas and up until the middle of February-ish. And so knowing that, having Loop available on your platform, I think is a really, really, really wise decision to make for your brand. So just once again, thanks for coming on the show, for sharing your knowledge and vision and just really giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Yeah, thanks so much, Steve. Super grateful to have the opportunity to do it. Yeah, this was awesome. I really, really enjoyed the conversation.
All right, have yourself a great day.
You too.
This episode was brought to you by Push Owl, Shopify's leading web push notifications app and the only Shopify Plus approved certified app partner in its category. Browser-based web push notifications push your retention marketing and conversion rate optimization to the next level because you can re-engage store visitors without the need of an email address. Send web push notifications right to their smartphone or desktop by just using the browser. And the great thing about Push Owl is they're used by over 20,000 Shopify stores and more than 600 Shopify Plus brands. So you know their solution has the security, privacy, speed, and reliability that Shopify Plus brands come to expect. Take their platform for a spin now, 30 days for free on their paid plan. Head on over to ecommercefastlane.com/pushowl and use the code Fastlane when you activate. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.